Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and pray again, too, because more prayer doesn't hurt, right? Father, thank you again for this night. I thank you for this final great eighth day of Sukkot. I thank you that you are you're revealing yourself to us tonight, that if we haven't had a real special revelation this week, Father, that we come into this last day expectant to see those rivers of living water flowing from us, Father. I thank you because you are that wellspring of life. I thank you that you are revealing yourself to us. You are teaching us what it means to live in your kingdom, revealing the truth of it in our lives. Abba, thank you for opening our ears and minds. I thank you that you are graduating us, Abba, as we have pressed into you. We just bless your name, and we thank you, and we say happy Sukkot, Father. Amen. Happy Sukkot. You may sit down, but you may not fall asleep. So, hopefully I will be engaging enough to keep your attention for not quite 45 minutes. Probably shorter. So, the message that was swirling in my head was your kingdom authority, or what is your authority in the kingdom? Several different variations of that, especially in light of some of the things we've been talking about this week and different teachings and different perspectives coming in. I just keep coming back to thinking, so how do we apply that to our lives? And how do we have that authority to actually turn the tide, which is the theme of our Sukkot, right? I was thinking about, well, actually, I want to go back. Sorry. So, thank you. Thank you for praying for Kyla, by the way. That was very powerful. Those prayers were very, very effective. We were sitting there. We actually did take her to the ER in Fruita. And I think what's amazing to me is, you know, I talked to Michelle on the phone before that, and her recommendation, she said, you know, if you're seeing it not get better, then you should probably take her in, at least get it checked out. Just to have that peace of mind and knowing there's nothing going on in her brain, except what's supposed to be going on in her brain, right? There are good things going on in her brain. Yeah, the CAT scan confirms there is a brain. So, that's right. But, taking her, so even that, you know, I thought about, okay, so maybe it would be better to take her to community or St. Mary's and just really ask the Lord. And I felt like, go to Fruita. So we went to Fruita. And you know what? There was no one in the waiting room. We got in there and they said, oh, it's good you didn't go to community or St. Mary's. They were full. They're actually turning people. Their ERs are closed right now. Wow. Yeah, the short staffed. Anyway, so I just felt like, yeah, I just thought, okay, Lord, thank you for guiding us. Thank you for giving us that step. You know, the next thing, they come out, they do lab work, they do a CAT scan, everything's clear. Doctor says, oh, I think it's just stress. I'm like, really? She's not like a Wall Street, you know, banker that's like, you know, wheeling and dealing 24 hours a day and, you know, has a family to feed. Yes, I know, she does have stresses. I'm not minimizing that. But it just didn't sit right in my spirit, you know? And I just thought, and I had people texting family and friends saying, make sure you push for the things that you actually need to get done here to see, just to get the results, to make sure you've covered your bases, you know? And really, and even before that, you know, I told Kyla yesterday, I said, if you just pray about it, ask the Lord if you feel like you need to go to the emergency room, because I know God speaks to you too. So I prayed and she prayed, and she had walked down to the tent last night to get something out, her tea anyway. On her way back, she started to fall a few times. And at that moment too, I didn't know that she had left, but I was on the phone with a doctor on call and made the decision that we should go in. She came and she said, Mom, I think, at the same time. So, you know, God just confirmed that. The point of all this is an example of kingdom living. We didn't go out of fear. We didn't freak out. I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to criticize if you do have fear. Because, yeah, there was a moment of fear in the office when they did in the hospital when they did the CAT scan, you know, and she was nervous and asking me questions about it. But I was like, you know, Lord, this is your child. She's a child of the King. She's in your hands, so whatever you have for her, you're going to help us through it. You know, and that was the peace he gave us. And, you know, when we asked further about what else can be done, I don't think this is just stress. I did feel like God said to call Daniel. And I did. And at that moment, I looked down at my phone and he's like, I think I know what it is. And called him. And the things that he said totally bore witness. Read it to Kyla and she goes, that's exactly what I'm going through. And it gave us peace about, because she's like, I do not want to spend the night. She knew that was not what we were supposed to do. And so gave us peace about coming home. And she was able to walk. So that was your prayers. She was able to get up and walk without fail. She's feeling much better today, a little bit of dizziness. Her head is hurting and her neck. So, but God is healing her, you know. So what Daniel, what Dr. Vaden said was that it was cervicogenic vertigo, right? Okay, so that's what his thoughts were, that's what it was. So it's the inflammation of the neck muscles that causes your brain to misfire and doesn't tell your body the things it needs to hear to do the right thing. So I just started speaking truth. Say, your legs work. God's equipped you. You can walk. God's given you what you need. He's giving you the strength. And we're just going to keep speaking that and praying and asking God for direction. So anyway, thank you, though, for prayers. Thank you. Yep, the end. So your kingdom authority. That's an example. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Also in Matthew, from then on, Yeshua began to proclaim, turn away from your sins, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I only used a couple of scriptures right here, but there's multitude of scriptures in the Bible that refer to us living in a kingdom and talking about a kingdom come, and that word, the kingdom is near. You know, when it's talking about the kingdom is near, it doesn't mean it's coming soon. It means that it's near. I might even be able to touch it. It's right here. It's that this Yeshua was saying, I'm the kingdom. And I'm near. I'm here. So are we living in that kingdom with him? And that wasn't just, you know, from an ancient time, you know, 2,000 years ago or however many years it is now. It's if Yeshua has imparted himself into us, his spirit into us, then the kingdom is near. The kingdom is. We are walking in that kingdom today. That's right. So that being said, can you see that? I don't know that. Oh, okay, good. It's easier on your end. Positions within the kingdom. There's multitude of positions, but these are the few that I decided to focus on. And at first I was thinking, when we think of kingdoms, I think we often think of like medieval times, you know, knights and all that kind of thing. But the children of Israel lived within a kingdom structure. But it's interesting because, you know, that word melech was along long before kingdoms were ever established, which is an interesting thought. They didn't live, you know, Pharaoh was considered, I don't know if they actually called him king, they called him Pharaoh, you know, that was his title. So they had that idea of it, but not truly the kind of kingdom that Yahweh wanted to establish with them. And it was never meant to be taken by a man. That position was never to be held by a man. So positions within the kingdom, a king and a queen. Sometimes there wasn't a king, sometimes there wasn't a queen. But generally speaking, they have the children of the king. Ambassadors, citizens, and an army. Those are some of the roles that I'm going to talk about today. So the king has some responsibilities within a kingdom. He is to rule the kingdom. He's responsible for the well-being of the kingdom. He's supposed to lead his country in times of war. He's supposed to set laws and systems of governance. And the king got to deal with problems. I'm sure there's many more things, but in a nutshell, those were some of the things that the king was responsible for. The queen, her job was to listen to petitions and make appropriate replies. She did have a say in the affairs of the state. She would often go to the council and follow the proceedings that were taking place. She could appeal to the king, as we saw with Esther, right? And even offer counsel to the king if given that audience. Moving on. Children. They were children of the king. They have the opportunity to inherit the kingdom, unless they died, of course, before the king. They learned the customs and duties of the king. This is their responsibility. They were to master weaponry, politics, and social issues. They represented the interests of the king whenever they did any kind of a royal visit to another surrounding kingdom, too. Right now, I'm just speaking in the physical. But if we are to inherit the kingdom, do not be afraid, little flock, for your father chose to give you the kingdom. So roles within the kingdom, ambassadors. These were the ones, they understood the laws of the kingdom. They facilitated communication. That was their job. They negotiated with other kingdoms on behalf of the king. They represented the king. They kept the kings apprised of the goings-on at their places of assignment. So they came back, reported back from the king kingdom they went to. Here's what's going on here. And that was essentially the role of an ambassador. And then we have subjects. These were the ones that obeyed the laws of the king. They really didn't have a lot of duties other than to their own family. Their sphere of influence was really just their own pieces of land. They gained the benefits, though, of a prosperous and well-defended kingdom, right? Or reaped the consequences of a poorly defended kingdom. They were able to own land, but subject to the laws of the kingdom and its needs. And if we added in the priests into this, then part of that was their duties and tithes and offerings that would go to feed the priests and take care of them. Because as we know, the priests did not have the ability to own land, because their inheritance was Yahweh. Exactly. And then there's the army. The army, in a sense, the royal guard, if you think of it that way, they obeyed the laws of the king. They had to train regularly. Their job was to defend the kingdom, and particularly the king. They were ready to go to war at a moment's notice. They protected the citizens that could not protect themselves. They maintained law and order, and they kept watch for potential threats. So those were just some of the duties of the army, too. Can you identify with any of these as I'm reading through them? And you won't identify with just one. There's going to be characteristics of all of them, probably, right? Do we live in a kingdom structure right now? Physically in this nation, do we live in it? No. No, but it looks like our nation would like to have that, right? That's what it is working toward, that kind of tyrannical control, that kind of monarchy. Yeah, but within a kingdom, there was a purpose. Each person's role granted him or her authority because they lived in that kingdom. Authority was given to them because of the king. Protection came from living within the kingdom. Prosperity came from living within the kingdom. Identity came from living within the kingdom. If you look at that picture, that's actually a rendition of Jerusalem, or rendering of Jerusalem, where... But that's a really good picture of what a kingdom would be. It would be a walled city. It's the idea. I love having visuals that you can take away and hopefully remember and think about, that when you think about kingdom living, because kingdom living is very opposite of the nation we live in. We are in a democratic republic, so we are democratic republic, where we have those that represent us and we have a say in things, right? We can debate. We can say, I don't like that. I don't agree with that. That's no bueno, you know? And we decide yes or no on things. But within a kingdom, if you think about it, we don't have that kind of We don't get that kind of say. We don't get that kind of autonomy, per se. So you can see why Yeshua really heavily warned the people that don't go asking for a king. Don't go wanting to be like the other nations, because what did that do for them? He knew that would bring such evil rule over them. Because the only true and wise king is our God. He's the only one that would have brought about righteous living and identity within the kingdom and prosperity and protection the way that it was intended to be. But if you think about, so these walls right here, that protection, that prosperity comes from living within those walls. That's living within the confines of Yeshua, the boundaries of where he says, walk here, this is yours. Oh, you just walked outside the gates. You didn't go with anybody from our kingdom. You just walked outside by yourself. You might not have the same protection. You're walking outside of the kingdom covering. When I think about like when an ambassador would go to another country or another kingdom, they took the identity of the king. They represented. So even though they might have traveled alone even, way back in medieval times, a lot of times they paid for their own trip out of pocket and had to get reimbursed later on. So it was quite a risk to them. But even then, they walked out and they usually would have a seal, you know, that came from the king or some kind of a signet ring, something that represented their identity within that king, their covering within that kingdom. So as they walked out and they did the assignment of the king, they represented and they took his identity with them. That's why they had authority. If we walk out and we go to do anything out there, and we don't take the identity and the authority of the king with us, we will not prosper. We will fail. It will not be as effective. It might look good for a day or two, but it won't have a lasting effect in the spirit realms. And we want to be effective in the spirit realms first. We want to do that first. We want to be in right order. We want to walk in that kingdom so that when we do go out and we represent the king in one way or another, we come out as an army, that we are making physical, earthquaking changes that cause that ripple effect. That's why I think some of these things we've been doing, like this rally, were so effective, because we put God first. He was the foundation of that. We said, we know, we recognize, we don't have anything unless it's on God first. So we open up this thing with blowing shofars, because what do shofars do? They clear the air. They open ears, right? Yeah. They herald the king. They say, hey, time to assemble, God's people. Do you hear the call? Time to assemble. I slept in yesterday, but you know what I woke up to? A distant shofar. And it wasn't obnoxious either. It was like, it was such a soothing, like, oh, that's for me. Amen. That's what it is to live in the kingdom. It's like, hey, I see this thing physically happening in my body and it's scary right now. But what does the kingdom mindset say? Hey, I'm your child. Yahweh, I don't know what's going on. I'm not feeling good. What's going on with my body right now? You know, I trust you to protect me. What should I do? Well, get on the phone, call the doctor, you know? I mean, it's literally that easy, that simple. It's faith like a child. Asking him these steps. Provision also came from living within the kingdom. There was, because it's not just living within, oh, hey, I got my piece of land and I'm able to work it. Living within a kingdom was living within a community, right? You had neighbors, you had people working toward a common goal, because working for a king, you had a common goal. You had to have a common goal, right? You got to pay your taxes. You have to work toward whatever, you know. He says, hey, I want everyone to grow this crop. That's what you do. Because as a citizen in the kingdom, your life is not your own. Does that make anybody cringe at all? Sometimes it does, right? It is a really hard thought at times. Yeah, because there's times, and it is easy to make these bold statements and say, my life's not my own, I would sacrifice it. Yep, I would sacrifice it for what I know is right. But you know, we really don't know what that looks like unless we're sacrificing it in the little things at home. you don't just suddenly get out there and you have a life or death decision, typically speaking. It's the little battles that decide whether or not you really are willing to live in a sovereign kingship, where you are willing to give up your rights. It's those things that say, my flesh really just wants to go do this, but I'm feeling like my spirit is saying no. I'm feeling like God is saying, no, it's 5 a.m., get up and get on your face and pray. You know, that's a little thing. Or there's a lot of little examples like that that may seem like little decisions, but they are life and death decisions in the spirit realms. I am convinced that's where our authority comes from, is obeying in those little things. To he that is faithful with the little will be given much. If we're faithful and obedient in those little things, in those little battles, those areas of apathy and laziness and discomfort, not willing to go out of our comfort zone, just doing what we always do because it's what we do and we know it and it's comfortable. If we're not willing to just do that little bit right there, then we will not have the mantle that God wants to put on us. We will not have the sphere of influence that he wants God's people to have. And we won't turn the tide in our area. God will put someone else there to do it for us. I don't want that. I want to be that one. I want to be the one willing to step into that. I want to be the one that's willing to test these things, to not just react in my flesh to things, you know? We've been challenged this week with some things that maybe aren't as comfortable, that we're not accustomed to. We actually talked about that today during our prayer time. And we had a really great open discussion of what do you guys think about this, and had some good, honest comments. We were able to address those things. We were able to take them to God, and we're able to say, okay, Lord, again, what is yours and what is not? What do I need to throw away? What goes on the altar? You know, what do I take away from this? Because do we really believe blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh? Because if we do, we will see Yahweh in packages that we don't expect. We're going to see him. We're going to see the parts of the body that we didn't expect to see. I'm going to use your example. With purpose within the kingdom, we get access to the king. Within the kingdom, they were able to approach the king in the court. There was a time set aside that you could approach the king. If you're outside those walls, you don't get to go to the king. Only when he's out in the field, and that's one time a year, Yom Kippur, when he's there right before the time before Yom Kippur, when he's out in the field. Otherwise, you don't have access to the king outside the walls of that kingdom. And what does it mean? How do you get to be a citizen of that king, that kingdom? You're willing. You go, you say you're willing to serve. You're willing to be there. You're willing to abide by its laws. And you're willing to serve that king. And you swear your loyalty to that king. Another word for that is covenant. You're willing to make covenant with that king and say, this is my king. This is who I will bow my knees to. This is who I will surrender my life to. That's covenant. Have we made that kind of covenant with our God? That when we put our hand to the plow, we are not going to look back. That's what it means to really make covenant, is to be committed to that God. I'm going to shorten this. Everyone's tired. Yeshua answered him, amen, 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 amen. I tell you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's incredible, right? Because here God was saying the kingdom of God is near. Yeshua was saying this, and they're looking around, and so many were like, I don't see it. I didn't see you come in on that white horse and destroy our enemies. I don't see a kingdom. I just see more criticism. I see more regulations from Rome. I see more, you know, mandates and things that we have to abide by. I don't see a king. I don't see a kingdom. Because we don't have spiritual eyes, and we haven't submitted to the king. We haven't bowed both knees, or we haven't bent both knees and said, you are our king, so help me to see your kingdom. Let me see your rulership. We sang that song, let the weight of your glory fall on us. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let it not just have a vision of it, but let it reign in us. Let it guide our steps. so that when we do make decisions, we make them not of our own accord and our own will, but we represent the King, and with that comes His full authority. When we submit those decisions and those steps to that King, we don't know it, but we look back and we have the whole royal guard behind us ready to go to battle for us. That's our God. He is Yahweh Zevaot, Lord of hosts. For just as the body is one and has many parts. Okay, sorry, I'm not ready yet. So, I'm sorry, real quickly, I wanted to go back to the obligations, though, that the King has toward its citizens, toward all those people in the King. Oh, I went too far. The King's job is to rule. With that comes the consequences for ruling poorly, right? Or if he makes a wrong decision. But ultimately, you know, when we say, oh, I don't know, God, I just feel like I would do a better job. We don't typically say it like that, right? But we think in ourselves, we think to ourselves, oh, yeah, gosh, really, God? That's not how I would do it. I think I could do it this way. Can I just try it this way? Instead of realizing He's the King, the responsibility lies on His shoulders. He's the one that takes the consequences. He's the one that bears that burden. He's the one that bears that blood guilt offering. He is the one that lays His life on the line for His people. So we can trust when He gives us something that sounds bad, it sounds scarier, it sounds like it's going to put us at risk. We can trust that He's actually the one taking the risk for us, because He's the one doing battle for us. He's responsible for the well-being of the kingdom. You know why I want you to understand our role and His role? Because when you go out and you start praying and your faith is weak, you can go back and go, oh wait, you said that was your job. You said this is what you will do for us as a King. You will provide. You have promised us that. We are your children and you have promised us. So Father, I look to you and I say, I am afraid of not having provision for my family, but you said you would provide. So I confess that fear and I trust you to provide, because that's what the job you said you would do. He'll lead us into battle. He sets these laws, He sets these systems for us, because He is the wise King and He is the one. He is the one that gives us that instruction. And I even, you know, He sets the laws, but He also gives us the instruction in how to carry those out. And He deals with those problems. He's that intercessor. So in looking at these roles within the kingdom, and yeah, we identify with some. We identify maybe with every single one of them. I don't know. And maybe, you know, I know that some people identify more with just being the citizen, happy to rule over their plot of land and just sticking to what they need to do, and that's okay if that's where God has you. There's others that are ambassadors that are being sent out. These are just like roles within the body, right? These are just like, there's apostles, evangelists, pastors, you know, prophets, and those kinds of things. It's the same idea. But look at here. Even the children of the King, and I hope all of you realize that you are a child of the King, they were to inherit the kingdom, but they had to know how to inherit a kingdom first. They weren't just given it. They had to train and be responsible for what that entailed. Learning the customs of the King. We don't serve a Greek God. We serve a Hebrew God. We need to know His customs. We need to walk in Feast of Tabernacles, Sabbath, you know, Sukkot, Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur. Those are the customs of our King. Amen. And the duties that those bring. I mean, setting the Sabbath day apart, not doing what you would want to do, gathering unto yourself. They were to master weaponry. Why? Just so they look good? So that they could carry a sword really well? So they could lead people out to battle. Because that's the job. That's what they had to do as children of the King. Sometimes you have to go out and battle. They had to understand politics. Sorry, I used that word. I said the P word. But they did. They had to understand how things work. And social issues. Yeah, they had to be able to read the room. Really, that's what that is. It's, can you read body language? Can you connect with all kinds of people in different walks of life? Can you be a bridge to all kinds of people in different areas of life? That's what children of the king had to do. And they represented the interests of the king in a royal visit. Every time that you go out, you represent him, and it shouldn't be your own interest. It should be his. So when you say something to someone, don't do it to build yourself up. Do it to build up him, the one that gave you life, the one that gave you those skills. And lastly, I wanted to use this verse in, is it 1st or 2nd Corinthians? Nathaniel today gave us a good, insightful verse, and it was very apropos and timely. But the example he used, I'll read it first. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Messiah. For in one ruach, one spirit, we were all immersed into one body, whether Jewish or Greek, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For in one spirit we... Oh, that was the same verse, sorry. For the body is not one part, but many. If the foot says, since I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? Just because it says it's not? No. God deemed it to be so. And if the ear says, since I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, is it for this reason any less part of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. Nathaniel said something that I just thought was very interesting, and it stuck with me today, but he said, you know, the bile duct is a weird-looking thing, right? It might seem weird to us, you know, and it is shaped kind of like a, yeah, weird thing. But knowing... What did he say? Okay. Anyway, it doesn't seem to connect. It seems odd. And especially if you're used to, well, the hands, we know what they do, and the feet. Or what about the appendix? That's another one, right? It's like, do we know yet what it does? I'm not sure if that's been proven yet. Anyway, but the bile duct, it might be weird, but it has a part. It's very necessary. Yes, they all serve a purpose. And so I think a part of that, what we talked about today too, was at first glance, if something just seems off to you or you don't know about a person, test it. Ask the Lord. Say, is this a bile duct? Just kidding. Don't say that. Just say, is this yours, God? Is this someone in your kingdom? If one part suffers, all the parts suffer together. If one part is honored, all the parts rejoice together. Now you are the body of Messiah and members individually, but we are the body. He's given us our own little kingdoms, our own autonomy, but we make up the body. And that's why I wanted to share what I did about Kyla too, because this is, yeah, granted, a lot of us are my blood family, but there's a lot of us that are my adopted family, and I want us to know what's going on in our lives, and thank you for praying for her. So anyway, that's it. I have 11 minutes. You're welcome. But I will close this in prayer. Will you stand with me? Thank you. And we are going to do another worship song, and we're going to do the war dance. So if you don't know what the war dance is, well, the title says a lot, but it's a way of interceding. It's a way of going to war. Again, another way that we fight our spiritual battles of the bride. Okay. Yes, this is our graduation ceremony. And I'm going to lift up Marilyn. Thank you, Father, for being with us tonight. I thank you that you are teaching us what it means to graduate, what it means to be a part of your kingdom and a part of your body, Father. I thank you that you are showing us, and that each day we would be kingdom-minded. Help us to remember that picture, to know what it looks like to be within your walls of protection, and help us to feel it when we step outside of that covering, when we have walked outside of the king's authority, Father, and bring us back quickly. I pray that you would discipline us quickly. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for Marilyn for bringing a healing about in her body tonight from head to toe, Thank you for causing her to be able to breathe clearly and to have a sweet rest tonight. And all of us, Father, I just thank you for breathing your breath of life into us, a refreshing, a renewal, a revelation of your kingdom in us. Thank you, Abba. Amen.